I have such mixed feelings about our slipping away. But Jane lost total vision in her left eye overnight about 3 months ago because of giant cell arteritis. 1 in 10,000 people get it. Giant cell arteritis. You get inflammation in the artery that goes up by the temple and gives nourishment to the eye, and it closes up and the eye doesn't get fed and you can't see. So she's on heavy steroids because they noticed shadows in the bottom of her right eye, and she can't sleep right at night, and she's all messed up in those things. So with sadness and knowing that I'm going to miss some of my favorite brother preachers, we're going to slip away in the morning. My heart will be here with you. Jane and I want to express sincere appreciation to Pastor Brad Davis and Sister Sandra Davis right down here. She works very hard with the Academy, and I believe that the folks of Antioch are aware of and appreciate her diligence and her hard work. This lady goes from the time she swings her feet off the bed to late at night. She works hard, but she's such a gentle, meek, and quiet spirit, and folks love her, appreciate. She's working hard. She's getting old and weary for the sake of children. Oh, my soul. Who said that? Did I say that? And we're just so grateful to know and love Pastor Josh Davis. We love the stirring music here, the choir, the trio, and we thank all of you for your Christian grace and kindness to us. You just open your arms to us, and we don't take it for granted. We thank you for this definite concerted effort to make us feel welcome. I'm keenly anticipating Dr. John Reynolds' message in a few moments. He researches, he organizes, he studies the details, and then he lets the Holy Spirit and the Word set him on fire. And I like details with fire, and I'm looking forward to his message. Now, one of the cardinal rules of preaching is that you're never supposed to make excuses. So having blown it with respect to Mrs. Davis, I will blow it a second time and break one of the cardinal rules of preaching. I'll make an excuse. I came over here this morning to bring some things to pastor's office, and you know, he is one of the most gracious, and I learned today, diplomatic pastors I've ever met. And I mean diplomatic, not in the woke sense or the PC sense, but I just mean gracious and pleasant and bending over backwards. And he got that look. He got that look in his eye as I was about to leave. And he said, you know, he said, I never tell preachers what to preach. And I thought, oh, yeah, heard that before. I never tell preachers what to preach, he said, but Brother Gunther told me about a sermon you preach. And I said, and what would that be? And he gave the title of the sermon. I said, I didn't bring it. And I was sure I was off the hook. I didn't bring it. And I don't just open the Bible and just let loose. I'm afraid I'm one of those fellows that have to have some notes. I didn't bring it. And he just looked so innocent. And he said, you know, I think I saw it in the book you gave to Pastor Josh yesterday. And I was back on the hook. I have not preached this sermon in decades, so I need your prayers, and that's the excuse. Turn to Psalm 137. Psalm 137. By the way, he said he did not think of that, and I believe him. He said he really didn't make the connection when he said that I saw it in Josh's book yesterday, and I believe him. We're turning, please, to Psalm 137. Let me say before we read, everything in the Bible is inspired, inerrant, and a true record or account. Everything in the Bible is true, inerrant. It's a correct record of God's dealings with men. But not everything recorded in the Bible is lovely, pure, Christ-like, or to be imitated. We should not imitate everything in the Bible. And it's my opinion that we have one such passage here in Psalm 137. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept, and we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth. Now, I'm going to be rather hard on the Hebrews tonight, but I want you to understand I am very, very, very pro-Israel. Who can require mirth of anyone? But these Babylonian soldiers were. You can't require mirth of anyone. It's either coming from the heart or it's not. But these brutes required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And the response comes back, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord. The children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it, raise it. Now note that that verb does not have an I. It's not raise as in build up. It's raise as in tear down, destroy. They said in the day of Jerusalem, raise it, level it, destroy it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Our text is verse 2. We hanged our harps upon the willows. And the title of the sermon is Dusty Harps. Dusty Harps. The setting is during Israel's Babylonian captivity, which lasted from approximately 587 B.C. to 517 B.C. Even though God had repeatedly warned beloved Israel that if she did not repent and change her ways, he would use a foreign nation to carry out his judgment upon her, she still would not repent. And so God used Babylon to bring the discipline upon his own beloved, chosen people. And he did it for love's sake. And now the Hebrew captives found themselves in a strange environment in unfamiliar circumstances. Something remains with us even when we are in unfamiliar circumstances, and that something is memory. Memory. This silent minstrel who no longer plays his harp is tormented and haunted by memory. Memories of what was and what could have been. Our text, verse 2, speaks of a resolute decision that arises out of an awful paralysis of bitterness. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. If if I were to take Pastor Josh's guitar and hang it over there on that railing for 3 months and let it remain there unstrung, untouched, unused, it would gather dust. That's what happened to the harps of these beloved Jews. A bitterness of spirit precludes or paralyzes creative living in the present, and it prevents productive living. Harps that go unused will gather dust. Verse 3 paints a picture of sarcasm and derision at the hand of cruel and heartless captors. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion now, Hebrew boy, sing now about your Jehovah. Come on, fella, sing now. They did not feel like singing. And sometimes I don't feel like preaching. And sometimes you don't feel like coming to prayer meeting. The Babylonian captors came by the suburbs where the captives were, and those rough soldiers mockingly demanded, if your God is so great, if Yahweh is so wonderful, if he's such a great deliverer, sing us one of his songs now, if you please. Such sarcastic persecution and oppressive ridicule only deepened the anguish and the bitterness of spirit in the silent minstrels. In verse 4, we find the captive's reply. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Pathos and irony boil and seethe to the surface of the silent minstrel's emotions. It's always sad when someone who has the gift and the ability won't sing anymore. It's always sad when a musician who has the ability won't play the guitar or the harp anymore. Surely they do not realize what a pathetic sight they are. God's own precious people had squandered their heritage, their God-ordained opportunity, and they now realized it. Young people, don't squander it. Now look. Look. The devil will tempt you to think that these folk around Antioch are old-fashioned folk, and I just want to be a little bit more up-to-date in my entertainment, my music and all that. Look, look, look. When you get old enough, you follow the careers of these rockers. And you wish to the depth of your heart that you could be back with old-fashioned, God-loving people. You say, those people had something that my new crowd does not have. You'll think it. I promise you, you will. Best not go there in the first place. Just stay home with Jesus. God's own precious people had squandered their heritage. And to compensate for their feelings of frustration, the silent minstrel made oaths of fealty and loyalty to a past that were now gone. And so bitter was his spirit that he threatened members of his own body with a curse if they should dare ignore the moratorium of inaction that his vengeful spirit had declared upon them. Hand, you will not play. Tongue, you will not sing. Or If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. That's verses 5 and 6. He actually cursed his own hand if he dared to play the harp again. And he cursed his tongue if it dared to sing in this setting of reverse and trouble. Some of you might be saying, "Preacher, why are you telling us this? We're the cream of the crop. But look, you don't want to leave cream too long."
Yeah.
Even cream can have its problems. You might be thinking, how can you think that there might be even an ounce of bitterness in this Monday night group? How can you think that? We are the most loyal of the loyal. We are the preachers. How can you think that of us? How can I suggest that? I can suggest that because I know me. I know the potential of the fallen human heart. If someone says something discouraging to us, if there's an action of discipline against us by God or man, the spirit of bitterness will encourage us to hang up our hats and quit. Oh, we may carry on in public for a while. We may even keep singing in the choir or taking up the offering, but we've hung our harp up on the inside. And before too long, it'll show up on the outside. Satan does not want God's singers to sing or the harpists to play. Satan profits when God's people have silent voices and dusty harps. Voices that will not sing and hands that will not strum harp anymore advance Satan's cause. The bitter spirit of the silent minstrel finally lashed out in a fit of rage. Yes, it's inspired, but I don't advise that you live this way. The record is true, but I don't suggest it's the New Testament grace of Jesus. It may be eye for eye and tooth for tooth under the law, but it's not the grace of our lovely New Testament Lord Jesus. But we hear it again. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it, level it, tear it down, even to the foundation thereof. Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones, thy babies, against a stone. My wife looked at a small part of the service back up home from Lord's Day morning, and a Russian man married a beautiful young lady, and they brought their second baby so that the church would pray. They're bringing the baby up to the pastor, wouldn't contribute an ounce to saving the baby, but they wanted pastor to pray that this child would follow the Lord and bring the Lord glory.
Yeah.
And the father explained how the Russians, where he comes from, give the name, and how they take part of the father's name and make the name. And then the camera zoomed in on the precious little baby. I don't know how anybody could say, happy will the one be who takes a little baby like that and throws it against a stone wall
till his brains crush out. This is the depths as to where bitterness can take us. Right. It's where bitterness can take me. Bitterness has gotten into some Christians, even preachers and missionaries, and sent them on a crusade to destroy their enemies. You're wasting God's time and working towards an ulcer. Leave them to the Lord. Dr. James O. Phillips from Ypsilanti, Michigan, with the Lord many, many years ago, used to say, bitterness destroys its container. Bitterness, like acid, eats away at its own container. Verses 8 and 9 are the true record. But our blessed, gracious Lord Jesus didn't say, throw their babies against the stone wall. He said, bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke 6:28. Consider with me the implications of this situation, and then I'll be done. The silent minstrel of Psalm 137 is saying, I'm just not going to sing anymore. I've had it. You know, I hear that pastor's not going to have my favorite preacher back because turns out that pastor minimized the blood of Jesus, and I want to hear my favorite preacher again. I'm just weary of it all. I'm going to just hang up my harp. Doctrine's important. The blood of Christ is important. And if your pastor has to make a call on an issue like that, don't hang up your harp. Thank God that you have a pastor, an under-shepherd, who cares enough about you and your children and grandchildren to concern himself with doctrine. But so often we're tempted to say, after what they've done, I've earned the right to quit on God. It's just not appropriate. It's just not fitting to sing or play my harp anymore. And so this silent minstrel determines he will perpetuate his grief. Sort of a Baptist kind of self-inflicted penance. I don't believe in penance. Just sort of a Baptist kind of self-inflicted penance. I'll just lay out a while and maybe I can atone. Maybe I did make a mistake and I messed things up a bit, so I'll just lay out and go a low profile, and that's a kind of a Baptist penance. I remind us that our loving Savior said, through his servant, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, hear me as I close up. In many cases where people put their harp up and stop singing, in many cases, the situation that God has permitted is not retributive. It's not retributive. It's not punishment. It's life. It's life on a planet filled with fallen people like me and you. It's not judgment. In this case, it was corporate judgment. But in many cases, it's not retributive. It's not punishment. It's depravity. And it just may be that though you're involved with corporate sin, a corporate time of being in Babylon, the Lord's just trying to polish you a little and hone you a little and shine you up a little bit. Now what you need to do, you need to get your Bible, maybe a hymn book, and you need to read the Bible and ask God through his word and Holy Spirit to show you what became the excuse for hanging up your harp. What became your excuse for quitting the choir? And you need to go back to that point. And I'm not talking about healing of memories. I'm saying, go to grips with it, look it square in the face, and say, that's where it started. I stopped singing, I stopped rejoicing, I put my harp on the willows, it's dusty. Go back there, meet with God, and take your harp off the willow, and go something like this. Give your harp a good old-fashioned Canadian. Blow the dust off it. And get your right hand. And start to play again. Now you may find yourself a little bit out of practice. But it'll be music. It'll be music in the ears of God. And go for it. And don't let your harp stay dusty.